we said last week, the Christian life is filled with fervor, grace, and strength, and it has a certain character that the Apostle Paul sought for believers to assimilate into their lives. He tells us there are four aspects of the Christian's spiritual life that fortifies and equips him for life. So we have entitled it, this two messages, to be, from what we have read in Ephesians 5:17-20. To be understanding, to be filled with the Spirit, to be singing praise to God, to be thankful. These are all seasoned Christian demeanors. How do you want to live this life with God victoriously, with the presence of God in your life? Well, it is by being able to put on this Christian demeanor that God will show you, so that you may be able to do that which God wants you to do. Verse 17 of our text says, to be understanding. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The Christian must seek to know the will of the Lord and to walk therein. It seemed a mysterious notion, what the will of the Lord is, but Paul has just spent three chapters to delineate for us our origin. Where do we come from? And where we are going from here? And that's crucial. You need to know who you are as a Christian. And Paul writes and tells us that we are specially chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So we are a separated people that God has made, a privileged people, separated from sin unto holiness. That's what it means to be chosen by the Father. And secondly, the church is a purchased people in intimate relationship with the living and true God. This is what it means to be purchased by the Son. And thirdly, the church is a protected people destined for heaven. And that's what it means to be sealed by the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, the Spirit of God comes upon you. And the Lord has assembled us together as His people, the church that He has called out of the world. And so Paul tells us that we need to understand who we are, know the will of God. And how do we know the will of God? Well, by knowing His Word, what God has revealed to us concerning all things. And God has given to us His Word, 66 books of the Bible, 39 of the Old Testament, 27 of the New Testament, to show us what His will is. And He wants us to take time to study His Word, take time to know His will, and take time to be able to walk therein. And so Paul is saying, wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So you see that the Christian life, for it to be strong, for it to be prospering, we need God and His Word. When Moses prepared Joshua to enter the promised land, he said to him in Joshua 1:8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. That your life indeed may be so much entwined, walking in the center of the will of God, and God reveal His word to us, all that we need to know about life and spiritual prosperity is revealed to us through His word. And the Lord wants us to take time to study His word. And in order to study the word of God, we need the Spirit of God. That's what verse 18 tells us. You need the Spirit to instruct us so that you may know what the word of God is telling you. And so each time when we would approach the word of God, the Lord wants you to take time to pray and ask God to show you the better way, to open His word to you so that you may understand how you ought to live your life, what the Lord would want you to do for life. And that's very blessed, isn't it? And the Lord shows us through His word what His will is. And you recall we mentioned concerning why God would give us His word in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You may know the word that God would show you the principles of life and show you where you have gone wrong and give you the strength to correct yourself, and then to show you where the better way is. So we said that be not unwise, know what the will of God is, and be filled with the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine. We mentioned today in our weekly how the world is drunken. When we are not sober, that's very dangerous. We can be intoxicated by many things that pull us away from our relationship with our God. And the Lord wants us to be very careful. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So Paul is saying to the people of God that when we walk in the Spirit, we will walk surely, we will walk steadily. When we are controlled by the Spirit of God, how can we be filled with the Spirit of God? Well, you have God's word with you, and if you have acknowledged your sins, repent of your sins, and receive Jesus Christ into your heart, then the Holy Spirit indwells you, and the Holy Spirit will guide you, instruct you, show you. So the believer's life is filled with the Spirit instructing us, guiding us, comforting us. That's the meaning of the word that Jesus used to describe the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He is the one that comes alongside you to be with you. That's the meaning of the word Comforter. Right? And so when you become a child of God, the Spirit of God comes to you, and as you struggle in the sense that you need to know what to do in life, you pray and you seek the Lord will open the scriptures to you. And then verse 19 tells us that music is next to theology. That's the words of Martin Luther, the reformer, the German reformer. Music is next to theology. When you learn the Word of God, right, the Bible tells us that commit it through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the Lord tells you that the spiritual demeanor of the Christian is one where he makes melody to cheer his heart. The way of uplifting the heart and strengthening the inner man is to meditate upon scriptures and godly thoughts that exalts the name of Christ and God through godly music. And the Lord tells us that indeed it is so good, indeed it is so true that the Lord wants us to so we have a brother who play the hymns in our revival hymns and choruses, and so that then he puts them together in a CD so that we can be strengthened as we meditate upon this hymns and music. And God willing, we said that we would like to perhaps do a reprint of the CD so that it can be made access to our people. About 200 over, more than 200 hymns and gospel choruses and songs. So we said that the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the music of God, and thirdly, fourthly, prayer. To be thankful, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit-filled life is manifested in thanksgiving always in all things. Here is a prayer of thanksgiving, directed to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit. That's how the Bible teaches us how we ought to pray. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why in the name of Jesus Christ? Well, it means by his merit, by who he is, that we have access to this relationship and this strength and power from God. So the message of the Christian, the prayer of the Christian reaches the ears of God. When you sing to the, when you pray to the Father through the Son and in the Spirit, that's how we have that vibrant Christian life, your prayer life. And he tells us that prayer begins with thanksgiving, a thankful heart. And a heart of thanksgiving, we said, is founded upon the understanding in the believer's life that God is in charge and that he works out life for us by his sovereign power and guidance, and a sense of grateful acknowledgement of the God factor in such a life. Do you have acknowledgement of God in your life? How do we acknowledge God in our life? Through thanksgiving. Thank God for what he is doing for you in your life. And if we lose that vibrant gratefulness and gratitude with our Creator, you find that, you know, life takes a sobering, sad turn. That's how the world began to be plunged into misery. That sin did not begin on earth, but sin began in heaven, when God's most beautiful of cherub, the angel that is closest to God, fell. Pride came into his heart. Lucifer, by five thoughts, rebelled against God. And God read our hearts, you see. And he wanted to be wise, above his own creator. And that is something that we, you know, must not have. Pride is the first sin, and the sin that fell mankind. Right? When Adam and Eve was tempted in the garden, what did the serpent says to the Eve? It will make you wise if you eat this fruit. Right? Your eyes will be open. So, but God said, you eat, you will die. So who will you listen to? Listen to the serpent. You find that it's destruction, right? And death. But if you listen to the instruction of God's word, then, you know, Adam and Eve would have been preserved in the Garden of Eden. So sin began when we are lifted in pride and cease to be thankful. That's why Jesus, when he came on earth, the first word that he uttered in a Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit. He tells us that you must have that understanding that of your own spiritual bankruptcy, your own spiritual poverty, you know, that you are undone, that you cannot reach God, that you need God. And that is the spiritual demeanor for a thankful Christian. You know your place in life. And that's important, you know. We don't overstep ourselves. Very, very important. We are under God and His sovereign care. And is it anything bad? Of course not. Lucifer was made the most beautiful of all the angels that God had made. He was closest to the throne room of God. And yet, he fell. And so, to keep us from this fallenness, the spirit-filled life is also a life of grateful acknowledgement to God. So you're always taking time to thank God. Taking time to praise God for all that God had done for us in our life. That we have that understanding, you see. When we study Psalm 100, which later we would look at it, it says that we are the sheep of His pasture. We do not make ourselves, you know. But God is the one who make us. Right? So the psalmist says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. He only is God. And it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are the sheep, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And so a right understanding, a right relationship, you would find life brings with it a true rejoicing, a right rejoicing. You have true joy with God when you have a right relationship with Him. And so Paul is saying to the Christian, do not forget what God had done for you. Do not forget what God is doing to bless you moment by moment. That's why we need to know our theology. You need to know who God is, what He's doing for you. You need to know what God is to you, sustaining, keeping, strengthening. Then you have an inkling of wholesomeness in life. Then you will have the thankful heart is happy. Although you are unable to see and interpret, oftentimes the message of life, but we can trust the good God to help us. So he says, give thanks always. The adverb there is always. make this a habit in your life. Giving thanks always for all things are not easy. Sometimes we want our own way, our own will. But you see that God would mold us so that we would conform to His image, to His will. But Moses was placed in the wilderness for 40 years to prepare him to be a yielded vessel to God, so that whatever that God would give to him, he would do for his own blessing. Joseph, I remember when we were studying, we said that he managed to interpret the dream of the butler and the baker, and then one of them forgot him, the butler forgot him, and he was left in the prison for another 2 years. But God was with him. Did he murmur? Did he complain? Well, the Bible records no blemish in the life of Joseph. But the Lord prepared this man so that in the right time, the Lord elevated him to be the prime minister, whole of Egypt, the greatest empire on earth at that time. For God's own purpose, for God's own glory. And he learned to be thankful to God in all circumstances. So sometimes, you know, as we go through the seasons of life, we said we like the winter, or we don't like winter. We like summer. We prefer the spring. Right? That's where the flower begin to grow. We don't like autumn, a bit gloomy. Winter time is very cold and you have to stay indoors. But you see that in all seasons of life, God brings with it its unique beauty for us. Right? During winter time, you get the snow. You get to enjoy the cozy home. like home is cozy, because it's so cold and rough and fierce outside. And you get to stay home and enjoy the comforts of home. So the Lord tells us that we go through, well, life comes with its seasons. And Paul says that we are to cultivate this demeanor of thanksgiving. So he tells us about the believer's prayer life. Right? Not only you must, you know, take time to be wise, to know the will of God, to walk in the will of God, but you know, to be filled with the Spirit. Right? If you are filled with drunkenness, you are not walking with God, you are chasing after other things. Ah, that's danger. Right? So the Lord tells us, thirdly, that life can bring with it many trials. And how do we go through trials? Well, sing a melody in your heart. We were singing the chorus, I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I look to him in prayer, darkest night will turn to day. I know the Lord will make a way for me. So in song, right, we cultivate faith to know that God will not leave forsake us. We are going through another milestone in life. That juncture, that crossroad in life, God is with you. You cannot see the light in the tunnel, but God is there for you. And the Lord wants you to encourage your heart in the Lord. Okay, and then we said, why is it that we ought to be thankful for the precious gift of life that is extended to us? And we live with that knowledge that we are secured with God forever. We gave the benediction today from Jude 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. So the Lord tells us that, you know, there is an end to your life, and it's a glorious end. It's a happy ending. Right? When you read stories, you like to, you know, especially if you have a thick book, you want to peep at the end first to know what's the ending. Right? And sometimes you say, oh yeah, sad ending. You don't like that story, sad ending. But for the Christian, the Lord tells you that you will have a good ending. Right? Life with God is beautiful. He's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, wisdom comes from him. As we submit ourselves under his care, we receive his wisdom, we receive his enabling. Our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. That's the praise of a Christian in heaven. So our life of thanksgiving is a preparation for your life in heaven, you know. You never know what heaven is like, how God is going to recreate the new heavens and the new earth, you know, how beautiful it's going to be. You know, if you go out in the morning for your walk, you would look at nature and you look at the birds. This week I was at a place where they have two trees, you know, and as you do your little exercise, swing your hand, and you see the birds coming to the trees, and wow, so beautiful, right? They are calling itself away, and the birds cannot understand itself, in a sense that the birds cannot appreciate itself, right? And why? What is the creation given for? For our good. Right, for our appreciation. Right, God gave us his creation for our appreciation. We are the only ones who can appreciate, right, the beauty of creation. The beauty of the little bird that flies, and all sorts of sizes, you know. All sorts of color. The other day I saw one bright red. Wow. Very far away. Can see enough, right, to know that, wow, that's special. And the Lord wants us to appreciate, right, appreciate what he has created, and when he will recreate again the new heavens and new earth, it's going to be so beautiful. And we are preparing for that time. Right? And the believer, Paul says, ought to cultivate the kind of understanding of who God is, such that you are able to thank God in all things. Not easy. William Cowper wrote the hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. And he tells us how we are so prone to judge God by our own feeble senses. So he wrote, he says, but trust him for his grace. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purpose will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. So the believer who walks with God, has a vibrant prayer life, is able to cast his care upon the Lord and find help. The Lord wants us to cast our care upon him. Right? Paul wrote in Philippians 4:6-7, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful for nothing, Don't worry about the things of life, but commit them to God. Commit everything to God with prayer and by prayer and supplication. Plead to God things you don't understand with thanksgiving. You say, God, I thank you for who you are. I don't understand why I'm in this situation, but I know that you know, and you don't make mistakes in your life, and you are fully aware of what is going on in my life. And so the Lord wants us to have that confidence in our life, relying on Him. And prayer is what this means, you see. Relying on the Lord through your life. That's what Moses learned in the wilderness, 40 years. He became so much a meek, the Bible called him the meekest man on earth. He was able to hear the slightest movement, the command of God. And so the Lord says that the spirit-filled life is largely in prayer for God to guide his life, and in thankful acknowledgement, grateful acknowledgement that he makes all things well for his people. A heart, a thankful heart, will invite God into his life. In thanksgiving, right, we are able to draw strength from our God. You know, the Israelites in the wilderness, you see, they were of a different breed from what Paul is describing here. They were not thankful. They were always murmuring and complaining. Right. But that's not the spirit that God wants us to have, you see. But He wants you to have a thankful spirit. Under the auspices of God is a happy, you know, when you thank God, it means that you're happy. Right? And the Lord wants you to have a right understanding of what He's doing for your life. Right? That you ought to feel happy. You ought to be thankful. You ought to be giving thanks always for all things. When we have a right relationship, it will lead to real rejoicing. Our God is the one that provided stability, strength, and blessing to His people. By His leading and guidance and care, we are blessed with love, peace, and joy. And we can be truly happy. And the Lord wants you to be truly happy. And you know, the man Jacob learned that through life. Right? He was a cheat. He was a usurper. Right? But God changed him. How did God change him? God brought him a greater cheat. Who was that? Uncle Laban, right? Cheated him. In the 20 over years he was there, he was cheated and cheated and cheated over again. Right? God brought a greater cheat into his life. But he learned. He learned what? Not to cheat. To be honest. Right? Remember, he had this sheep, speckled sheep, and the good sheep. He had to trust God. If God don't bless him, he doesn't have, you know. And God wants us to reach that kind of understanding in our life, that when you have God with you, you know, let Him do what He wants for your life. He knows best. So Paul says, I know how to abase, to be abased. I know how to abound. So the Lord tells us that we are to cultivate that attitude of thanksgiving. And Psalm 100 is a very good example of that kind of a relationship. Right? When we know the Lord, that He is God, and that it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves, that we are His people and the sheep of His pasture, then all things in life will fall into place. Right? He is able to make a joyful noise to God. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come to His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. To bless His name. What did He say concerning His God? That the Lord is good. Right? His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. So here the Lord tells us, right, of His unfailing goodness, His enduring mercies, and His abiding promises for His people. And God wants us to truly enjoy Him in life. And how do you enjoy God? It's through a vibrant prayer life. God wants you to have a vibrant prayer life. What is to have that vibrant prayer life? It begins with thanksgiving. To know your position in the economy of God. Know where we are. We do not think ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly. And so the Lord tells us that we are able, by doing so, to live life triumphantly. That's the meaning of the word, the phrase, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. To live triumphantly. Right? This is a victory cry. Right? How do you live your life? Well, bring your petitions to God. Right? Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Make a joyful noise. How do you make a joyful noise to God? Well, through a vibrant relationship with God. That's why the Hebrew writers, they know. Right? The word for blessing, the Hebrew word for blessing is the word kneeling. And when you kneel intensely, that is blessing. And you call upon the God. That's why Jacob, he learned it. He wrestled with the angel day and night until at Peniel, until God changed his name to Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed, and he was blessed there. See, then he was waiting for daybreak, then he has to meet his brother Esau, whom he stole the birthright, right? And he knows, brother may still be angry with me. What do I do? So he had to sought the Lord. And was the brother angry with him? Well, he wrestled with the Lord, right? And at the dawn of the day, what happened? He was crippled. Right? He cannot run anymore. He said, Lord, if you don't bless me, you don't protect me, I'm a dead duck. Right? My brother comes with his men, I can't run. So he's that kind of a man, is he? A supplanter, a usurper. That's his old self that God wants to rid of. Right? Serve the Lord with gladness. So we said triumphantly and sacrificially. The word serve means to work. Right, to labor, right, serve sacrificially. Right, so when we, and verse 2 says, come before His presence with singing. Right, how can we thank God? We must come personally to His house to worship Him. Right, come before His presence with thanksgiving. Right, every morning when you wake up, what's the first thing you do? Do you thank God for what He has done for you? We ought to. Elderly grandmother would say, I would thank God thank Jesus, pray for my children, my grandchildren, and then I'll drink my coffee. Good way to start the day, right? Yeah, so triumphantly, sacrificially, personally, and penitently, or with verse, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. The word there is gratefully, right? Gratefully. Enter into his courts with thanksgiving. The word there is the word that is used at the preface of Psalm 100, the word praise. Okay, the climax of gratitude is when the believer comes to the house of God to worship him. Be thankful unto him. That's the word penitently. Okay, to acknowledge and confess him. Then that's the meaning of the word thanksgiving, you see. Paul says to thank God. Acknowledge and confess our unworthiness and our sinfulness before God. Right, so that's... and then finally he says wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. Come before his presence with singing, right? To bless the Lord, to bless his name is the act of consecration, right? Of renewing our faith and trust in him. So we are to do so wholeheartedly, right? That is how the believers, that is the believer's life, full of thanksgiving, full of praise. And the Lord tells us that we are to cultivate that kind of a lifestyle. You said that, oh, there are times when I complain, there are times when I murmur, when problem comes, I succumb, right, to the pressure that is before me, whether it's with people, whether it's with circumstances. The Lord says, Paul is giving you the injunction, be thankful.